Let me take this opportunity to welcome you all to this meeting. Maybe we should start by introducing ourselves so that we can know whom we are talking to. I am Matebe. I'm the acting chair of this committee.
Morning, Chairperson and the members. My name is J.J. Scotton, representing the ANC in the portfolio. Thank you. Morning, Chairperson and the officials from the department, my colleagues, the honorable members, and Zugile Luyenge, a member of the National Assembly and a member of this committee representing the ANC from the province of Eastern Cape.
Good morning. My name is Catherine Mabuza from the ANC. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Annette Lovemore. I'm also from the Eastern Cape, and I represent the Democratic Alliance on the Portfolio Committee.
We are having the delegation of the Water Resources Commission and the TCP here, I should think. So I don't know who's leading which delegation. I haven't been told.
We
can start with the Water Resources Commission.
Yes.
I'm Reef Kakfir, I'm the CEO of the Water Research Commission.
I'm Rashmini Frank, I'm the Director of HR and Administration.
Good morning, my name is Naresh Patel, I'm the CFO for the Water Research Commission. Thank you.
Morning, Chair and all, I'm Janine Adams, Chairperson of the Water Research Commission.
Morning, I'm Sengi Wekele, CRO, Water Research Commission.
Morning, Chair. I'm Errol Masala, Parliamentary Officer in the Ministry.
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Snowy Kosa. I'm the Chair of the TCTA.
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Lebohan Kitanyana, Deputy Chair, TCTA.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is James Ndlovu, Chief Executive, TCTA.
Thank you very much. So as you would all know that in doing our oversight duty as the members of parliament, the constitution requires us to do oversight over the government departments and public entities. Hence today we have called you here to come and account, to give us a short briefing on your financial statements and also your annual report. Because the annual report allows Parliament to evaluate the performance of government departments and the public entities. So I think without any waste of time, I'll then start with the Water Research Commission to do their presentation. But I think maybe I should just indicate that last week we had a very terrible situation whereby the other presenters, their documents were printed with small letters, which made it very difficult for us to read them. So I hope you won't do the same. So, the Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you. Thanks. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we did give you a copy. It's in the file, a copy of the presentation, and I hope it's the size of the lettering this time is acceptable, you know, because last time we did try to save the trees, but it doesn't help because people couldn't read, so it's two slides a page. Okay, our presentation today will actually be what we call a song and a dance because a number of us will present. So I will start and do a short introduction and thereafter the others will also speak. So we'll speak into different subjects. Just in short, the mandate of the WRC highlights the following, and that's according to our Act, you know, the Eden Act of the Water Research from 1971 that has been amended lastly at 96. Basically, the Act says that what we have to do from point of functions that should be carried out by the organization is promoting coordination and cooperation and communication in the areas of water research and development. We have to establish the needs for research and the priorities for research, so we need to intermix very strongly with the sector. We stimulate funding of water research according to that priority, promote effective transfer and of both, you know, information and technology, and enhance knowledge and capacity building in the water sector. So that's basically our core mandate. What we do from point of strategic context is to link the water cycle with the knowledge cycle, because when we talk about the water cycle, the only thing we are not really doing research on is marine. It's ocean per se. We will actually look into ocean and elements that has to do with weather. We will actually link into estuaries and so on and outflow into the marine environment, but freshwater will be our major area throughout the water cycle. In the knowledge cycle, we will actually look at all the way we actually create and disseminate knowledge, but again, from point of application, it's often not us that have to apply. It will be either decision makers or people that actually will use the technology, but we try to influence the cycle. Our mission is basically to be a dynamic hub, a catalytic entity to enhance water center knowledge, innovation, and intellectual capital in the country. And we provide leadership for research and development, support knowledge creation, transfer, and application. Through that, we engage all our stakeholders and partners in solving water-related problems that are critical to South Africa from point of sustainable development, economic growth, and we are through that committed to promoting better quality for life for all, of life for all. Our vision is that South Africa will be a global leader in providing innovating solutions for sustainable water management to meet the changing needs of both society and the environment. When we say to be, we mean the country, because we are basically an element that catalyzes the activities in the country. I will introduce to you now Shamili Frank that will speak about governance. He's our what we call company secretary and director of administration and HR.
In terms of governance, the WRC under the leadership of its shareholder, the Minister of Water Affairs and Forestry, and the board continue to manage the strategic direction of the organization. During the last financial year, we saw the constitution of our new board, which adheres to the board charter and the board code of ethics. The board has five functioning committees. That's the audit committee, human resources, strategic policy and strategy, remuneration, and the executive committee. The audit committee functions in accordance with its clearly defined charter and oversees both the external and internal audits. And the WRC complies strictly with the Water Research Act and the PSMA and Treasury regulations. Our annual report includes the chairperson's address, the highlights, executive report of the Auditor General, report of the Audit Committee, financial statements, and organizational structure. On our cover, we have the African elephant. Although despite its formidable size, it's one of the most gentle and social of all animals. The elephant is only as good as it's heard, and communication is vital for its survival. Elephants create and enlarge watering holes by trampling the mud and carrying it away after wallowing. They pass the water holes, channel the rain, In dry times, elephants decode using their trunks and feet and expose underground springs, creating much-needed water supplies to many of the other animals. They have a great capacity for compassion and possesses a significant sense of memory. In many African cultures, the elephant is seen as a general symbol of physical power, leadership, and longevity and wisdom. The performance of the WRC can be seen in its key performance areas, human resources, financial highlights, the research and research portfolio highlights. Our key performance area, our KPAs, uses the balanced scorecard methodology and includes five key performance areas. Stakeholder relationships, which links to the national and international initiatives. Financial perspectives, learning and innovation, which involves dissemination of our intellectual capital. Internal processes, and the significant achievement we had there was the introduction of our new web, the Electronic Water Knowledge Hub, and organizational transformation. For each of these areas, there are set indicators, which are all quantitatively measured, and during the year under review, the WRC achieved most of its performance targets. In terms of human resources and our equity, our staff composition did not change significantly during the year, but we have 56% African and 60% female staff at the WRC.
Good morning, Chairperson. Under the financial highlights, I'll be covering four topics: the report of the Auditor General, the statement of financial position, which is normally sometimes called the balance sheet, the statement of financial performance, also known as the income statement, and the annual financial statements for our property company. Under the report of the Auditor General, WRC received an unqualified audit report. It's been WRC's eighth consecutive unqualified audit report. The financial statements have been prepared under IFRS, which represents the International Financial Reporting Standards. In the 2008-09 financial report, there were no major audit findings. Under the statement of financial position, WRC has a relatively strong balance sheet with no unfunded liabilities. The marginal growth in the fixed investments was due to the financial market crisis. The increase in trade and other receivables were due to the water research levy accrual. The lower cash and cash equivalents were due to higher research costs incurred during the previous financial year. The cash held at year-end is in respect of commitments for multi-year research projects awarded. Trade and other payables were lower than previous year due to lower accruals for research costs. The increase in retirement and benefit obligations is mainly due to the higher than normal inflation on the medical costs. And this is in respect of the post-retirement medical aid liability. The provisions are in respect of staff leave, and these have been accrued in terms of the WRC's leave policy. You will also notice that the current ratio for the WRC is fairly healthy, and the ratio is 3-1. And under the statement of financial performance, which is also sometimes called the income statement, WRC reflected a deficit of $3.3 million. This deficit is mainly due to increased payments on overdue multi-year research projects and some non-cash year-end accounting adjustments, namely the adjustment on the post-retirement medical aid liability. The increase in revenue was mainly due to the increase in the water research levy. This increase was in line with the inflation. The water research levy is WRC's main source of revenue, which constitutes about 89% of its total revenue. the levy is receivable in terms of the Water Research Act. Our operating expenses increased by 25% in the last financial year, and this was mainly due to an increase in the research funding costs and HR-related costs. And the nature of our business is that research costs fluctuate from year to year. In our previous financial year, we had a surplus, and in the last financial year, due to the extra or research costs, we went into a deficit. WRC also has a 100% owned subsidiary, which is our property company, and this property company is situated in Gazina in Pretoria. As I previously alluded, it's a 100% owned property company. It also had an unqualified audit report. The major item in the balance sheet is the investment property. It reflected a 1 million rand loss for the 2008/09 financial year, and this was mainly due to the servicing of WRC loans. WRC over the years have extended two loans to the earth / the property company. And the main source of income for this company is WRC, because WRC is the main tenant. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Since our main business is to actually lead and fund research and dissemination, I will talk a little bit about the research portfolio. What we are actually concentrated on during the year under review, and some highlights and achievements in that area. We are divided into what we call key strategic area. Those are operating units through which we actually invest in research throughout the country. We invest in research, we do not do research. Research is done in all the universities and research institutions and by various active people in the water sector and related sector. We have, we're running, and I'll show you now many research projects. We're running about 300 research projects per annum. And we try to build capacity building for both the sector and for future research through our project. We put a lot of effort through the project and thereafter in knowledge dissemination. And I will talk a little bit about what we want to achieve from point of impact. From point of our research, we address everything related to water management, but it's wider than actually looking at water, because water users are often linked to land users. So we can't separate the two. And the two of them actually create a link from point of resource utilization and resource protection. So when we look at the research, what we have is three threads that go through, which is water quantity, quality, and accessibility of water. Because land use would not happen if we don't have the right quantity, quality, or accessibility. And the unit in which, you know, all those elements have to be managed in order to have resource sustainability is the base, you know, the catchment area where you actually need to do that. So our research, wherever, you know, they will touch on something, will touch on a number of elements that are mentioned thematically here. The idea basically is that we will try and see that water will be supportive as for the whole strategy of economic growth and development, and that's where we link very closely to the department strategy. And at the same time, what we aim to do is, you know, come back physically. You can have water scarcity that needs to be addressed. You can actually have poverty that relates to lack of water and vice versa. And you need water to be more productive if you want to make, especially in an arid country like ours, you want to actually make more with less. So our aim is basically that through the research and development support that we create knowledge, which mainly will affect policy and technology and will have an impact in the country from point of economic, sustainable economic growth, social elements, health, and sustainable long-term environment. I spoke before about the link of the water cycle to the knowledge cycle, and we try to actually affect from knowledge generation, either develop and acquire new knowledge or repackage knowledge in such a way that it will be useful for the sector. We also put in a lot of effort into knowledge sharing and dissemination, the transfer of knowledge, capacity building, and actually seeing if we made an impact.
Now, during 2008, 2009, the year under review, we continue to support the water sector and all the various institutions and partners, and we try to provide them with knowledge that will either create better decision-making processes, better policies as for decision-making, improve the ability to monitor and assess water, having better tools. So we often do not do the monitoring and assessment ourselves, but we provide the country with the tools to do so. Making available a range of new and improved technology related to cleaning the water, protecting the water resource and its management, and also looking at the whole notion of how to manage water services, water lease services, be it water and sanitation. The WFC continues to address the issue of climate change. I've been told you will be having a hearing, you know, about climate change. We have been, in the last decade, put a lot of effort into research on climate change, from actually putting large-scale monitoring into actually going into local level. So currently the country has the ability to understand local level. We also moved from modeling into mitigation and adaptation. So currently we have a lot of work done on how to adapt to climate change and how to actually understand how other elements in the water sector, from actually water work to sewage work, can actually use energy, you know, in a way that they can actually create energy. So there's a lot of link between energy and climate change and water that we have looked at. We said standard by the WFC, I just said it, you know, development of adaptive and mitigation strategy that will ensure future sustainability of our resources. And the portfolio was set in the basis of strategic plan. We consult very heavily with the sector and wider even. And WFC continues to run its portfolio through the four key strategic areas. Now, there are two key strategic areas, and I think I spent a little bit more time on it when I spoke to you a while ago during the induction. Water resource management and water link ecosystem actually looks at how to manage the resource. It's issue of quantity and quality. The water link ecosystem mainly looks at water as an ecosystem and supporting ecosystem. Now, during the other review, we concentrated on the water resource management, on resource assessment and planning, understanding impact on water resources, be it man-made or natural impact, and that's where climate, the home for climate change, water resource protection, and water resource institutional arrangements. What, how to govern water, how to actually integratedly manage water resources, very important. Ecosystem actually address the processes, the management and utilization, and often we spend also research and time because our ecosystem often gets to such a stage that we need to rehabilitate, and that will include wetlands. The uses, we have one major area which is water use and waste management, in which we cover the domestic mining and the industrial areas. And it looks at water services, water supply and treatment technology, sustainable municipal and wastewater sanitation, industrial mine and mine water management, and sanitation and hygiene education. And in the agriculture one, which is separate from the other users because it's a major user and also use water differently than the domestic industrial mining, we look at food and fiber production, fuel, wood, and timber production, poverty reduction and wealth creation, and resource protection and reclamation. The main element is how to reduce the use of water in agriculture, and actually we still need to eat, so we need to actually create more food, more crop per drop. Overall, during the year under review, we about 50-50 between the resource, we try to keep that strategic balance between investment in research on the resource side and investment in the utilization. It varies slightly by a few percentage from year to year because ongoing projects might have a different budget. During 2008-2009, we supported 294 research projects. 78% of them, 230, were active projects, either ongoing or new. So it's either some were going on from multi-year, so some were going from previous year, some started during that financial year.
and about 22%, 64 were finalized during that year. Once they're finalized, you will get reports. There will either be normal report or what we call technology transfer report that will come out, which are available to the country, you know, free of charge. The active project comprised of 168 and 52 new, and the WSC supported 339 solicited projects, which translates to about 70% of the active projects. The cycle varies from year to year as for the number of solicited projects. Solicited project is a relatively new stream of projects in which we say to the research community what should be researched, almost, you know, with a term of reference, almost stating what should be researched. I'll give you an example. A few years ago, the country didn't have researcher on sanitation, or the country didn't have research on emerging farmers. So we need to actually get the research community to understand what the country needs. Now we have professors at universities that specialize on sanitation. We have clear understanding on emerging farmers. So we, from time to time, have to lead in such a way that we will solicit a project. The other projects will be more innovative, in which we say what is the area, but the scientists will come with more innovative ideas. So overall, if you look at our knowledge creation, and we have given a cumulative graph for the last 5 years, and you can see that we are running to about 400, close to the 350, you know, projects that, you know, new projects that we started during the year from 2004-05, you know, to 2008-09, which is about between the 60, 70 to 100 a year. As you can see, the numbers get a little bit less because we try to make the project bigger and more multidisciplinary. Water is not a discipline per se that you can say only the physicists will work on it or only the chemists will work on it. It's a multidisciplinary, so we actually make, you know, the sector work together and try to influence it and have bigger projects, mostly consortia-based projects. But you do need some of the projects to be discipline-based. The other graph, you know, on the other side actually indicates to you finalized projects and showing that's the output, the outcome of the research, that how much is actually going, and it's similar in numbers. From point of total investment, we try to actually spend most of the money to go out. So most of the money is in support of knowledge creation, sharing, and dissemination. It's about 105.7 million, and this constitutes about 75% of our budget. I think it was actually was 76% last year. So we try to actually to work economically in an effective way, so most of the money will go for research. We try to leverage support for research from other sources. We are allowed according to the Act, and 16.1 million was leveraged for other sources, mainly for direct support of research projects. So, for example, some government departments, not water affairs, will support research on agriculture, for example. And we also support knowledge sharing and dissemination capacity building initiatives that are actually, it was then the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry, now the Department of Water and Environmental Affairs, but there are two activities that actually come from sources that are really grant money. It's actually donor funds. And this is the Water Information Network South Africa, which meant to address knowledge sharing. It is actually a very good instrument that is built knowledge sharing in local government. And PET Water, which is mainly training courses in water resource management. That's a UNESCO Belgium funding. And the department is also funding it. The Water Research Commission continues to excel in support for students. During the year under review, we had 633 students under the research project, of which 61 were of a disadvantaged background. And we also support capacity building in Africa. I'll talk a little bit more about it, but we support a number of activities for capacity building in Africa. This is just giving us the various number of students that cumulatively throughout the year. We're talking about up to about 3,000 students, and from point of disadvantage, almost about 2,000 students in the last 5 years.
And does it just say on the side with some activities that I mentioned before, including also some award and course material that we are producing? Reaching into Africa, that's one of the things that we aim to as part of our key performance area. And we just last year signed a memorandum of understanding with Kenya Water Institute. We also have now two active projects under this MOU. The WFC also in collaboration with the IRD is helping NEPAD in building Center of Excellence for Excellence in Water Science and Technology in Africa. We are currently in the process of identifying the extra central nodes. There will be nodes throughout Southern Africa, Eastern Africa, Western Africa, and they will work all together and they will work with various institutes in the region. And the model is there, and we identified already in the Southern Africa, Stellenbosch University will be the center of one of the nodes in that area, in this area, and we are currently looking into Western Africa. This is work that also supported by AMCOS, that's the African Minister for Science and Technology, together with AMCO, which is the African Minister of Water. The WC is supporting also the Academy of Science of South Africa from point of activities that relate to capacity building, and during 2008 and 9 we hosted actually the African Hydrology Hydropower Training Workshop in South Africa. This is very interesting because it's global recognition, but it's global recognition for what was the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry, or currently Department of Water and Environmental Affairs, but the department have won a major award in IWA in the International Water Association last year during the Congress in Vienna. And this was under the category of operational and O&M, operational management. And the interesting thing is that this is about an electronic water quality management system, and the WRC have done all the support for the research to make the system work. So you can see the transfer from research into having a system, and that was globally recognized. From point of impact area, we try to make through our research, when we start the research, we say it should have an impact on our society, economy, health, and sustainable environment. And I will give you a few examples. From point of caring for our community, the social element, we try to actually look into social aspects of and the dynamic of water in society, the people need, the people's view of water, the role of what that water plays in achieving social transformation, and issues of, you know, justice, proper allocation. And we need to understand the democratic practices of the country and understand where things are socially acceptable. So we have to ensure that water research address social perspectives, including those that have to do with gender, class, disability, urban or rural area, culture, and even religion. So I'm just giving two highlights that are in the annual report, and one of them is about rainwater harvesting. Rainwater harvesting at a community level is a very important element, and we have done research on infield rainwater harvesting that actually saw the crops can actually grow three times bigger than what is normally growing. And what was very interesting as part of the project is to understand indigenous harvesting and conservation technologies, which we have actually put together into training materials in order for the technique to be used for the farmers. The infield water harvesting is very successful, and we're trying very hard to take it from what we call homestead garden, which is a micro level, into a larger level, into croplands now. Shaping up service delivery. This is a model that we created for local authority to determine the effective, service. Try to understand what kind of service for sanitation and water is required by the resident, and allow the resident to choose. And understand the model gives you trade-offs, which often haven't been there. So people don't understand, you know, from point of costing and from point of trade-offs, how the same side and services can relate to each other and what they can give for having something else, which will take into account when you talk about housing subsidy. What happened here? Sorry about this. I can put mine.
No, it's the back here. I just thought it was this one.
It's not this one. Sorry about this. It's bloody. Can I complete the presentation results?
I'm saying if you want to participate in our meeting, you must not come late. But I want to decide like what happened for us.
Why did they show
you? Like, what you wrote on the paper, it was a Okay, shall we continue? We will continue with the pages, you know, hopefully if it will wake up, you know, it will be better, but we will see. From point of supporting the economy, what's very interesting is that water in South Africa considered to be both a common good, a social good, but at the same time it is also an economic good. So we need to actually balance some point of research and understand how between the two we can actually work to see that water is serving society, but at the same time it creates wealth and well-being and allow for economic development. So we need to understand water as a catalyst for generation of wealth and prosperity. Okay. Economic instruments related to management of water and the use of economic instruments to increase the efficiency and the desired behavior and understanding the complex water economy system. For this, we actually have during this year a few examples again. One is actually moving. When we talk about industry, often we talk about what comes out of industry, the effluent. But in industry, we can actually build another behavior in which they clean before they actually discharge. So it's not really the effluent that they have to clean. It's not the end of the pipe, but actually understand the way they use water and reuse water within the industry. So we are supporting activities that relate to clean production, but at the same time also looking at how actually the waste discharge charge system will now affect the way industry will be functioning. Apparently, the cost benefit can be up to 30%. So basically, it's cheaper to manage production during, you know, the productive side, rather than at the end of the pipe. Another thing that is very important that relates also to climate change, the whole issue of plantation of trees that are not South African trees versus plantation of trees that are indigenous to South Africa. And it's very important to understand both the quality of wood that comes out, but the uses of water by those trees. And we found out that actually yellow wood in this area is actually very viable from points of economic benefit rather than actually imported trees. And not only will it help from point of, you know, economic use of water, but also from point of traditional medicine, fruit, recreation, climate change mitigation, through carbon storage, and so on. From point of conserving our environment, our aim is to understand water is part of the environment, but also linking water into other activities within the hydrological cycle. So we're talking about atmosphere, we're talking about soil, we're talking about all the components of the environment and understanding that. And we try to look at it overall from point of sustainable management. During the year under review, we have again two major examples, and there are more in the annual report. And one of them is the WR, the Water Resource 2005 study that we launched recently, in which we actually, it's a major project in which we looked at situation as for water quantity, water quality, you know, linking it into ecosystem, linking it very widely into many elements. And this includes now hydrologists and water quality chemists and microbiologists all working together, put that thing together. It includes a hell of a lot of work on modeling and understanding the tools, you know, having, you know, understanding monitoring system, and it's a major study. And the whole thing started, I think, you know, the guy that started it is quite old nowadays. It started in the 1970s, you know, and it's amazing because the tools got improved. I think there was a lot of news about the study in the newspaper saying that we have less water, but we actually said in that meeting that we have better tools. So basically the better tools allow for more accurate. So the scientists say that they are not 100% sure that we have much less water, but we actually have better tools to measure the water. So it might be that in previous year it wasn't that accurate. The next one is a very interesting thing, and we can make that book available for you. It's a beautiful book, and it has been given to all schools in the area, and we're hoping that other areas in the country will use the same approach. But a group of researchers in Cape Town put together a book about the rivers and the wetlands of Cape Town. When we talk about rivers, those are not mighty rivers, so some of them are very little streams also. But it has all the history and all the notion of conservation in it, highly educational and very, very, it's a nice coffee table book too. Lastly, we shouldn't forget that water, and we have seen it once and more, you know, we have seen it in various parts of this country and our neighboring country. Water can be a source of life, but water can also be a carrier of disease. And therefore, we need to understand very well water quality and issues that relate to water from point of being spreading an instrument to spread disease. We have done two things that relate to capacity building and relate to managing water that we put as highlights last year. You know, one is the technical assistance centers. So the WRCF actually extends its funding into having a center that will provide local government with support from point of water services. So the service provides proactive and reactive assistance in form of rapid and effective information, action plan and solution to treatment plant owners, manager, personal experience and personnel experiencing problems. And we have tried it in the Eastern and Western Cape, and it does work. Clean water is a major issue, and the guidelines, I think we have a world-class water quality guideline, and we have done a study to see, does the guideline affect health? Does the guideline actually support? And the impact assessment that we carried out in 2009 indicates that the guidelines have economic benefit and social and health benefit that actually can be translated into economic benefit. in cases where the guidelines have not been used, we actually saw that we have outbreaks. So following the guideline is essential for the health of the organization. The next slide indicates the knowledge dissemination activities that we have. And in your folder, you will see something. This is actually the next slide, the knowledge review. Every year, the WRC comes with this booklet that actually tells you all the projects of the WRC in the year under review. And there will be an attached CD that will give all those details. So this is searchable, and this is really, you know, a knowledge mine, you know, to understand what is research in the country. We have demonstration projects that we show certain technology. We are involved in many major exhibitions in the country. We produce the water wheel that I hope you are getting, and I think there is a copy of the water wheel in the folder. We also produce a scientific journal called WaterSA, on top of the technology transfer and the other transfer mechanism. So that's about it. Thank you very much, and if you have any questions. I give up. This one doesn't work either. Sir, we have finished. Thank you, our presentation.
Thanks. Maybe before we take comments, clarifications, and questions, we can just break for 5 minutes to have some tea.
Okay.
While it's still hot.
Always. 2 years ago, we came here.
same thing happened. No, it wasn't ours. It was your guys. We were all the same
thing. Okay.
And the computer wasn't reading towards the, what you call it, the proxy. Luckily, we always bring hard copies of things.
We end on Friday.
Mama Somali, umphathi wemathi. We want to apologize for interrupting your discussions. Honorable members and guests, I think we are now energetic after having some nice tea and sandwiches. So we can now proceed with our work. Can I then open for comments, clarity seeking questions? Mrs. Love. No, I'm trying to put it nicely. Love. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And I'd like to congratulate the team on an excellent presentation, Chair. I personally use WRC reports a lot, and I know that many people do. It's hard to even question anything because everything's so clear. But what I'm particularly interested in, I don't know if the Water Research Commission can actually answer this question. We've had numerous, and we will continue to have numerous presentations by the Department of Water and Environmental Affairs. And there's been a lot of media coverage, not only about their management, but also about the management by, or lack thereof, by municipalities of our water and our wastewater particularly. Why isn't the message that you are putting forth so eloquently, that you're researching and putting forth so eloquently in your report, why is it simply not being used by those who are the custodians of our water resources in South Africa? Yeah,
thank you, Chair. Without repeating the sentiments that have been actually presented to the delegation by my colleague here, really we appreciate the manner in which information in regard to the role of this entity is so important in the provision of this commodity. But my clarity is around the level of consultancy usage. Maybe are you employing services of consultants at certain points in execution of your duties? And also, do you have formal working relationships with the institutions? Maybe if such working relationships, is there any attachment of funding, maybe from the institutions, or it's the funding that is coming from the department? And what is the role of other institutions, maybe from in terms of getting funding from outside? Do you have outside sources other than the department? I think lastly, Chair, is with regard to the funding that they get from the department. Do they participate maybe in the actual receipt or before the receipt of that funding, or they utilize the available resources that they get, or is it informed by your needs? I don't want to say how is the department assisting you. Are they giving the parental care that they're supposed to be doing? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, the document is self-explanatory, and I should think it's very clear, and we'll continue reading the document. But I've got just a short question on the part of sanitation. You've touched the issue of sanitation, yeah? In rural areas, the municipalities who are operating in those areas, they don't have sufficient funds maybe to create the sewer plant what is your attempt on the sewer plant method, which is cheaper, that can assist these municipalities to kickstart this project? Because the major issue here is that a sewer plant itself is too expensive when you are making it. Then, Chairperson, another issue I on the reuse of water from the industries. I was a little bit concerned about the storage part of it. Where will we store that water after it is reused? Is there any means or method for coming up with a storage for that water before it can be maybe recycled properly and so on? Thank you.
Before you respond, let me just also add one or two questions. I'm encouraged by your statement that you are providing support to students, particularly the historically disadvantaged ones. But I still need the details of your support, because one might comment you only to find that you are concentrating on housing only or Limpopo. So I just want to get the details of your provincial spread in terms of supporting these historically disadvantaged students. And again, as the country is riddled with water quality issues and also the problems of land degradation, now, how often does the department and the draft regions make use of your research? Thank you.
The answer. Okay. First question is the most difficult question that they've said to us, you know, why, you know, the research is not used. We cannot really say that the knowledge is not used or totally not used. We have been asking ourselves and put in a lot of effort into different mechanisms of knowledge dissemination, in order to try and extend the use and have a bigger impact. In that case, each project is run by a steering committee or a reference group. The end user, the decision makers, are involved from the beginning. So actually deciding what to be research and what is research has people from the department, people from local government. We are in very close relationship with SALGA, for example. We have projects together with SALGA. We have an MOU that, you know, is pending now. And we've been working with SALGA on benchmarking and many other projects, for example. So the link is in existence. But what we cannot really affect in the country is the element of, we can give advice as for appropriate governance. We can give advice for technology and monitoring, but if monitoring programs do not work, if we have problems of capacity at local government, we can influence it that far, but our mandate is not about implementation. It's about saying things may go wrong if you do not implement it in a certain way. But we have example in which we do actually have something not only adopted, you know, partially but fully adopted. We have developing a river health program. The river health program is the adopt a river program that came into the portfolio committee also, and actually being accepted at provinces, at local government, by school, by industry. Still doesn't save our river. And we still have pollution area and water quality in our river. So those are things beyond our ability to fully make research utilized in such a way. And what I call it, it's an impact chain. There are a lot of elements within, from research to implementation, that need to happen in order to make it a success. And sometimes somewhere in the middle it fails, and sometimes it works and then it fails again. So there is the complexity. We recently had a sectoral meeting, which, including the department, says from point of, we are knowledge rich. As for water, we are knowledge rich. So it's not the lack of knowledge that actually creates situation in the country. It's the misuse of the knowledge, lack of use of this knowledge, ignoring that knowledge that can create the situation we are in. Second question is the level of consultant usage and our link with other institutions and getting funding from them. The WRC is a funding agency. The WRC doesn't do research. The money that the WRC, about 89% of the funds comes from a charge on water. So by the Act, there is a levy on water, so everyone of the public is actually paying for either domestic water use or for irrigation land. That is actually collected by the Department of Water and Environmental Affairs and by the two large water boards, Umgeni and Rainbow. That money is used for research. So that money is funding all universities and research institutes. So CSR, Geoscience, MRC, all the big councils get funds from us, and all the universities are getting funds from us. And often we make them work with each other. The consulting fraternity, the big consultants, Neiman Shand and the likes of them, sometimes are required because they have different technical expertise. But we make them work with the university. We make them work with the research institute when they do the research. Rainwater or, the large water boards sometimes are part of the research project. So sometimes research funding is actually also going to the water boards in order to do that. And the department leverage, the Department of Water and Affairs is actually leveraging certain projects that they have great interest in. So, for example, when we came with the wastewater guidelines, the flood guidelines, actually it was a combined joint venture between the two of us in which we disseminated the guidelines and built the guidelines together. Water quality guidelines is, again, a Department of Water Affairs and the WRC working together. So you will see sort of like streams of funds sometimes coming together for specific projects, and you will see sometimes that the WRC is functioning as the disseminating arm or as the research arm or of the Department of Water Affairs. So we do get some funds from the department other than the levy, not much. We get money from the Department of Agriculture. We're getting money from donor funds through the department. So Masimambane program, it funded some of the activities. We're currently getting money from Irish Aid, and that relates to sanitation. We have a pilot in the Eastern Cape on sanitation at school, looking at the franchise model for sanitation, and that actually is funded by Irish Aid. And again, I talked about UNESCO link to the Belgium money from Point of Bedwater. So those are basically the major, income streams that come, for the various activities. The department does assist us and we assist them. So we do work together. So, basically it is our role, being minister, being shareholder, the minister is our, the department is our key stakeholder. We need to understand where the department is going and where is the need. Research is more medium to long term. So we need to also anticipate what will be the need in the future and how to deal with it. So we do have consultation with the department at various levels into the need of the department. At the same time, the department will come to us and say, we need you to help. Now, the help is not only on research. I'll give you an example. We all preparing now for the Africa Water Week. So the WRC will be part and parcel of the preparation from point of the technical program. So if we go into Stockholm Water Week, we go together, so we exhibit together, we work together. So the link with the department is multitude, in different activities, and the research also, from point of discussion is often discussed one-to-one with certain chief directors within the department, very much.
The point of sanitation in rural area is a major problem in our country, and actually we're looking at saying what will happen now with sanitation moving into housing, you know, trying to understand the role of rural development, the role of, you know, the elements of sanitation fitting with housing, what it will mean for point of either accelerating. We have done a lot in the country, but we have done a lot that were not fully thought through also. So we developed, you know, the methodology of pit latrine, ventilated pit latrine everywhere. Doctors, they all got full. Nobody thought what we'll do when those, you know, pits will now be full. It requires the service. It requires all those elements. Politically, often there was a request of saying, well, the whole area needs to be connected from point of conductivity into the waterworks, you know, and, you know, actually having, you know, proper sewage works, it's complicated and difficult. Research that we've been doing in the last few years, and that relates to regulation overall, is what we call dry sanitation in an ecological way. What we actually see in other parts of the world used is direct reuse after composting of sludge, and actually using that as nutrient, and we're looking at what we call urine separation. So you use urine, and it's actually, I've seen it in function in Sweden in August, where you separate urine, you sterilize the urine, and you use urine as a source for nutrients. It saves on fertilizer cost, and you're also using the composting if composting is done. And what they have in Sweden is what they call eco-villages, in which they are using urine separation. It's a special functioning toilet in which you have a separation of urine from the heavy material. It's actually functioning very well. We have actually, at Aquini, have been piloting it for the last few years, looking into it. Another thing that we've been doing, you know, in sanitation is studying the notion of shallow sewer rather than the big sewer. You know, it's a Brazilian technology, it's called condominium, in which the community can actually put together, you know, shallow, small pipes, so it doesn't require great pressure and movement of water, you know, and we've looked at that. There is the whole notion of decentralizing sanitation services rather than centralizing. And for that, we also done business model, which we are now trying to figure out in Eastern Cape, in the school if they will work, in which we will do franchising. The idea basically in franchising is that the people who now buy the right to be the franchisee must be trained. So it's like sort of like when we have all those food chains, like the McDonald's and the various ones, the head actually dictates quality, the head dictates the processes, and the people are actually functioning, but you will have an head office that understands how to manage it. So there is a number of different approaches into looking into sanitation and looking at, you know, overall. And other studies that we've been doing is the dual pit, not having one pit, but having dual pit and actually using it. It's actually indicating that there is better processes within the composting processes that's happening. So that's about sanitation. Reuse of water in industry. What we're trying to influence in industry is to use less water and to use the water more efficiently. There will be less need for storage at the end of the day. So, well, I mean, Sasol a few years ago came with zero effluent. So they started running out of land with storage. You know, because they didn't release any effluent out, but they stored it, you know, and that's not really functioning. And in recent lecture, when we actually heard Sasol talking to us, it was very interesting. It also relates to water footprints. There is all drive in industry globally, and Sasol is part of the drive. On, for example, you know, it's not only Sasol, it's other, you know, SAB, you know, the beer, you know, SAB. And, you know, also the brewery, you know, FADS and so on, actually looking at reducing water usage and actually looking at, you know, they started calculating how much water do they use to produce a can of beer, how much water they use in order to make a square of chocolate, you know, and understand the footprint of water in their processes and trying to save water. So that will create And that's what the research shows, that actually they're saving, because to clean the water is very complicated. It's actually more costly to clean the effluent than to actually produce less effluent. And they have elements of reusing directly in the factory when they came. The worry of industry from point of water is what they call the security of the resource from point of quantity and quality. Because industry needs similar water quality and they need a surety that they will have the quantity of water they need. And that's another thing that they're grappling with. The students. In the annual report, we provide with a mapping of all the students. They are all over, you know. I think I need to see the table in order to tell you because it's difficult, but it's all universities. So you will see that they are all over. You know, there are students at the ARC, and ARC has campuses all over, you know, the country. But if you will look at it, it runs from University of KwaZulu-Natal to the University of Cape Town to the University of Limpopo to the University of Venda. So the spread of the higher education is the spread of what you will see from point of students. So it's not county province specific, it's county organization specific, but all over the country. Now, we are currently building two. Sorry. Northwest. Mpumalanga has Northwest University. So there is actually it's a good university, Northwest. Yeah. It's what used to be the the technical have been put together. So Northwest is not a bad university. What we find out is that we need to know more about the students. We need to know their gender. We need to know because some of them come from, which is not bad always, other African countries. We need to know how many South African, how many come from Africa. We need to know where they are. And that's a major headache because the universities don't know where they are after they complete their education. So we need to follow up and we need to understand once we know that, incentive to keep the students in the country, which is important. Some of them immigrate afterwards. Okay? The water quality and land degradation, you know, from point of research, you know, and from point... We do a lot of research on water quality, and we do research on water utilization and land degradation. You know, we talk to the different officials. We talk to the officials in the region also, you know, there are meetings in I think many regional directors are involved, you know, in steering committee and in activities. If you ask me it's ideal, it's not ideal because the situation is not ideal at the end on the ground. So we constantly strive to actually make a better impact and better use of the knowledge. You know, we currently, all the important research is confined into a page or two. We call them technical brief or policy support brief. We even have ministerial brief. So we got into a point as part of the knowledge dissemination to shorten it to make people aware of it also. But even that is, it's working to a limit, but it's not fully working from point of utilizing everything we have, you know. And I think that's all the answer. Thank you very much. Anybody wants to add something from our team? Thanks.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, the presenter has responded to and as she was responding to questions, I'm provoked to make a follow-up. Chairperson, there are a lot of methods that they have done in their research. Dry sanitation and other methods. But when you look to the projects that are related to sanitation that are implemented on the ground, it's contrary. That's my main worry. It's contrary because instead of linking those projects of sanitation to the methods that we are talking about, they are digging these toilets and they are not spending a purpose of the research that we are talking about, and of which is a serious concern. which means we must go back to the drawing board and check whether we followed the correct methods that were given by our researchers or not. Because this is a very serious thing. And those pistolets, there are regular mosquitoes, there are a lot of things inside there. Now, which means our people are, in fact, they are having a serious concern about this project. They are saying you have said you will put on the ground a sanitation. This is not the sanitation that we want. Then we must change our language as politicians again to say, no, we are trying to address a problem of those who are needy, and of which is not correct. Our language must be one as politicians. You can't have two languages when you speak to the masses. It becomes a serious problem. And number two, Jefferson, on the point of industry and irrigation part of it, I just want to ask questions here. To what extent is the commission involved in research as far as acid mine water is concerned, and more specifically towards solving the problem? And the question on irrigation, Jefferson, does the commission promote the use of drip irrigation? If so, do they find it to be effective? If not, why? I should think, if I can be clarified, then the Jefferson, for today I will be okay. Thanks.
Just one issue here. There is a hypothetical statement that says in the near future, water is a commodity, as a strong element of being escalating in scarcity. Then now, as a research council, what would be the remedy to that situation? Thank you.
Okay. Let's restart. The sanitation, I fully agree with you. So that's all I say, you know, and we'll try now in the new, you know, governance structure as for who is in charge of sanitation to rebuild. It's not from lack of trying. You know, well, I mean, I remember previous minister, we actually took her to see the pits. We actually spent time, not, you know, at different levels. So it's not from lack of trying. And we're hoping that the pilot we are doing now in Eastern Cape will make a difference. For me, sanitation is cool. It's not questionable. You know what I mean? You know, it has to do with girls' dignity. It has to do with child's ability to study. And we hope that through this franchise model, and actually keeping proper sanitation at school, we can do that and then, you know, work together into. My main problem is that technology from point of eco-sanitation, urine diversion, is not bad. It's good. I've seen it working in very fancy houses. But we need to build it as not a solution for poor people. So I always question myself, but this is me personally, not the WRC. I question why the Gulf states in Pretoria don't have eco-sanitation. Maybe it will be a good idea. Instead of combining them to a sewer system, you know, if you put in eco-sanitation, it will actually show you, you know, that it can work and it works in other areas, but it is basically a political agreement. I think in Itakueni, those things are working not too bad. We need to overcome also regulation because you need to actually... Direct use of excreta in this country is not allowed. Sludge is allowed, but there is the two difference, so we need to understand how we deal with it in time. Once the research says, no, it's safe now to actually allow that sludge to be part and parcel of the regulation, because currently we don't have it, so that's another element. But I fully agree with you. As in mind, years of research, patents, technology transfer, very proud to say that we have good solutions. But the problem in acid mine, that this is a problem of mines that nobody owns. It's after closure, so it makes it very, very difficult. Technologies such as the one that have been developed at the university in Rhodes University in Grabstown, it's a fantastic technology. It's a family of patents. It's called BioSure. You take acid mine effluent together with sewage, and you actually neutralize it to an effluent that is of good quality to throw back into the environment. So that is one example. This is licensed by Airbus. From research to pilot to actually large scale, it takes years.
But Airbus has been putting a lot into it, and they by piloting, they found out that they need to patent certain other things. But currently, this is, on schedule, and hopefully this will be something that Airbus can introduce into the country at a large scale and even move further. So this is one solution for acid mine. What you also see is that certain mines clean the effluent. Actually, the area of what used to be Wheat Bank. What is Wheat Bank called today? Yes. They actually sell water to the municipality. Those are actually water that comes from the mine and gets clean. So that's also happened. You can actually produce clean water, because microbiologically the water are clean. The water problem is the acidity of the water, and they need to stabilize them. So it's quite interesting because we have been in a demonstration plant that they have, and the processors are very, very up-to-date, very interesting, but with the gypsum that they accumulate, they even do demonstration model of housing, which is quite an interesting solution. Irrigation, drip irrigation. We've been into research on to various methodology of irrigation for many years, drip irrigation included. So that's actually, if you will go into our website and put in drip irrigation, you will get results and shows. Scheduling, we have scheduling for various crops. We also have, very interestingly, a very simple, detector to understand how far waters are and, from point of wetness, there is a very simple kind of patent that came out, you can stick it in the ground and it will tell you when the ground is wet. But the last years we actually put more effort into infield rainwater harvesting than drip irrigation, because infield rainwater harvesting allows you to harvest the rain and at areas that are actually almost arid. So when the rain comes, it actually affects the crop. And it's very simple technology and doesn't require infrastructure. So that actually, we've created a lot of women in rural area that are left behind and have that homestead garden are actually benefiting tremendously by rainwater harvesting, rather than, they don't often have the drip irrigation technology because we're talking about infrastructure that they require, that can be simple, but it's not that cheap, cheaply available. So rainwater harvesting might be actually a better solution there. Okay. Near future, water scarcity. Because I want to sound like, others, that get into the newspaper sometimes. We will not have a crisis of lack of water. We may have crisis of management. So we need to understand also, water is not electricity. So currently our chair told us that they have water restriction in PE, but we don't have water restriction in Pretoria. So what you have is different rainfall patterns within the country. So what's very important, and the country have done, and some controversial environmentalists will say it's no good, we store water, and we store water wisely, and we use them wisely. We manage land use linked to water use. So we need to understand how pattern of consumption is to do with the demand is to do, and that's why we are very supportive of the department strategy for water for growth and development when they say water is cross-cutting and all sectors need to sit together, and water is essential for any development. If we manage that right, then we will not have a crisis quantity-wise. Quality-wise, municipalities and all elements that relate into enforcing water quality needs to actually do it well. We will not have any problem for water quality either. It's not that complex. Can be done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I would like really to thank you for this nice presentation. It was straightforward and of good quality.
Thank you.
But I'm disappointed because I was hoping that will lobby us to make some changes in the act that governs you, to give you some more teeth to make sure that...
Thank you, sir. We may come to you for that. We may come to you in the future for that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I was made to understand that there is a new waste for water in Southern Africa. But whether that waste comes with good quality or not, we'll have to make our judgments after listening from the presentation from that waste itself. So I will then hand over to TCTA to present.
Thank you, Sir President and Honorable Member. The presentation from TCTA will first of all focus on the overview, which I'm going to do. And then we will have the CEO of TCTA to give the highlights in terms of the organizational performance. And then we'll have the Chief Financing Officer to look at the financial highlights and what we have achieved in terms of financing. And then our Chief Operating Officer, together with the Executive Manager for Project Management, will focus on the operations of TCTA. And then we'll ask our Deputy Chair just to conclude. Just as an overview, before TCTA, as we can see there on the slide, we've got the National Water Resource Infrastructure, actually supposed to be National Bulk Raw Water Infrastructure, which is both the responsibility of TCTA as well as DWAF. And if you look at the supply chain, it will show you that the National Water Resource Infrastructure leads to water treatment or to potable water levels up to the distribution of water. So we've got TCTA and DWAF responsible for putting the infrastructure. And then we have water boards that are responsible for ensuring that the water that they receive bulk is treated and distributed potable to municipalities, and municipalities have to distribute that water to the end users. Now, before TCTA, DWAF used to do all the infrastructure building. And then in 2001, there was an agreement between DWAF and TCTA to say that to fund the building of the bulk infrastructure requires that the fiscus must put money aside for the infrastructure to be built. Now, you can expect the burden that is put on the fiscus to do that. DWAF innovatively decided that they will create an institution such as TCTA, to do off-balance sheet funding for bulk raw water infrastructure. Now, since then, TCTA has taken the responsibility of building the Lesotho Highlands, particularly from the Southern African side. But on the second slide, you will see that in terms of the different roles and responsibilities of the various institutions. I will start with DWAF. DWAF is responsible, therefore, in terms of the value chain for revenue management, for asset management, particularly operations and maintenance of the assets. And then also, they're also responsible for ensuring that the water resource is actually managed accordingly. And I think this goes to the question that was also asked and responded by the WRC CEO in terms of the role of water management. The second part is that, and then TCTA will be responsible for the mandates that are given to them, or let me say us, in terms of ensuring that we can get financing from the money market to to build the bulk infrastructure, but will also be responsible for the construction of that bulk infrastructure. At the end, after building the infrastructure, we have to take the responsibility of debt management, because we're going out into the money market to go and raise funding to build the infrastructure. So we have to ensure as well that the money is paid back to the lenders. In terms of the water boards, we know that the water boards are appointed by municipalities themselves, and they're responsible for ensuring that they can take the water in bulk and distribute it portably. And then the municipality will ensure that the water is actually distributed to the end user. So that is the institutional framework as well as the supply chain in terms of how TCTA works. Now, what is TCTA? TCTA is a specialized liability management body whose mission is to ensure that we fund from the money that we get from the money market, bulk raw water infrastructure, and we believe that we have to do this in the most cost-effective manner and within the acceptable risk framework, because there are risk issues that we have to deal with, especially if you go out into the market to go and raise funding. We're doing this because we believe, as an organization, water is important. It also is important because it builds the nation, both in terms of economic development, social and environmental development as well. Now, in the next slide, we also look at TCTA as a Schedule 2 entity, which means that TCTA is 100% owned by government. It's a state-owned entity, and we report to Parliament, to yourself, through the Minister of Water and Environmental Affairs. And I just want to add that TCTA has been in existence for 23 years and been coming here to report a very clean report ever since the beginning up to today. In the next slide, Chair, we just to explain how TCTA works. TCTA started as a one project, or what we call single project organization, some years ago. And it was responsible for building the South African portion of the Lesotho Highlands for water projects. And we signed a treaty with Lesotho in October 1986. I'm saying 2006 is just yesterday, but it was 1986. And then, ever since then, in 1994, we were asked to take the whole project and manage its debt, which means that TCTA had to go out and look for refinancing methodologies for the project, raise funding, and then refinance back the project, because Lesotho, by then, went out to raise funding. Then, in 2000, a notice of establishment was amended to allow TCTA now to do more projects other than the Lesotho Highlands. So we started operating in what we call a multi-project environment. And we are, therefore, to look at ensuring that each project that we do is ring-fenced, because each project has to be credit rated, not as an organization, but each project has to be credit rated. Now, and we also had to operate as a not-for-profit organization. Then in 2002 to 2003, as I said earlier on, we had to ensure that the refinancing of Lesotho Highlands continued, and is still continuing, Chairperson, up to today. And therefore, if we look at, since 2001, at the work that has been given to TCTA since then, in 2001, we were asked to do advisory services by the minister to restructure the Umgeni Water balance sheet, and that we have done, and done very well. In 2002, we were asked to build the Berg Water project, and I think Johan and the COO will talk to how we have built that project and where it is now. In 2004, we received another mandate from the minister to look at the Vaal River Eastern Subsystem Augmentation Project. We call it FRESA, which also is responsible for providing water to Sasol and Eskom. And then in 2007, we were also given the Moi Mngeni Transfer Scheme, Phase 2, to do. 2008, we continue to receive the Olifant River Water Resource Development Project, and today we have been told that we are going to receive the Mkolo Crocodile Water Augmentation Project. We have started working on it, and we started looking at raising funding for this project. Chairperson, just to conclude in terms of the overview, to inform you that this organization, no matter how small it is, and we'll talk to the numbers of how many people work there, we managed to be responsible for total capital cost of all the projects that we've worked on to 30.2 billion rand. And today, we know that we have received the other mandates. We went out into the market because we require 44 billion rand to be able to take further projects. And Chairperson, just to conclude, to say, despite the economic meltdown, TCTA's reputation in the market is great. Going out into the market to go and raise funding, supported by the government of our beautiful country, we are able to convince the investors out there and the lenders to give us money for the project. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll ask the CEO to talk about the performance of the organization.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm going to take you through the report card, basically, in terms of how we performed. And then subsequently, the CFO will touch on the finances and will give you a flair of the detail of the projects themselves as they are being implemented. The organization for the past financial year was given the mandate that the chairman of the board has indicated to the committee. What was very critical for us was to implement about four major strategic thrusts for the organization. And that was to strengthen the organization itself in terms of its structure, because we're moving from a single project environment to a multiple. So what it therefore means is that we needed to have a very strong organizational framework to deliver. The second element was that as an organization, we looked at all these projects that we had as mechanisms to implement government transformation agenda in terms of BEE and empowerment of women and youth in terms of job creation, but most of all to make sure that the organization itself is reflective of the diversity of the country. The third element in terms of our strategy was to implement the projects as defined and given to us as a mandate by the ministry and make sure that they are funded equitably. And the last element was to deliver a clean audit report in that space of time. Chairman, I think it's important for me to just sketch, if you allow me, a bit of framework in which we operate, or the TCTA model. The chairperson of the board has touched on it, but it's always important to reflect to you how we run this business so that it gives you a sense of who we are and how we continuously try and raise funding to support this project. On your annual report copies, I think if you look on page 3, there's a bit of a web sketches that reflect how we drive the business. As the chairman has reflected, it's on the screen share. TCTA is funding and implementing projects, but at the same time make sure that the projects themselves are managed within an acceptable risk. How that happens, if you look at the orange side of the equation up end of the project, all the end users signed agreements back to back. We signed with the Department of Water Affairs an agreement to implement the project, and in turn the water users will sign the agreements in terms of water sales and the income streams to come back to TCTA to service the debt. But what is critical is that because TCTA is only 120 staff members, of which core is intellectual capacity to drive project management and engineering design and engineering management, we do outsource our construction. And the intention is that you want to use the technical, the abilities of all the construction companies in the country to be able to deliver in terms of design and construction. But each and every project, because it has to be attractive to funders, we ring-fence these projects. And the reason why we do that is because we want to make sure that the cash flows that are coming out of these projects in terms of water sales go directly to service the debt. That model for us is critical because it's attractive to any banker. The cash flows are not tampered with. The last element is on credit ratings. Each and every project is rated on itself to get its own rating. And that is done because it's important to sell a viable project to the market. And that is seen that it can stand by itself and be able to repay its debt. So all our projects as they stand currently are AA+, which is a reflective rating for in terms of risk management of this project. We then, in terms of management of the risk itself, in terms of payments, will continuously review our tariffs with the Department of Water Affairs and all the stakeholders that are participating, like municipalities and water boards, to make sure that the kind of tariffs that we charge are reflective of the current CPI requirements of the country. They are not hamstringing to the consumer, and they are quite reflective in terms of economic use. That, Chairperson, is very important for us to sketch out, to show that we raise this funding at the strength of the projects themselves and how we strategically design them to be attractive to funders. We then make sure that we strengthen our organization to make sure that we can handle the new six projects that we have. Because we emphasize issues of liability management and risk management to high levels, you'll see that in our organogram, the organization has strengthened its risk management capacity. At the top, we've created a role for a chief risk officer because we want to manage all the risk from bottom up, including some of the unintended risks that will crop up as the projects are implemented.
I can read for you. In the annual report, Chair, can I refer to the page? If you look at your page 14, Chairperson. Yes, of the annual report.
All information of the annual report.
Sorry, Chairperson, the intention was not to limit the readability. If you look at the high level, we have a board. The board is structured in such a way that it technically supports the operations of the organization. And the intention is that technically and in terms of risk management, all the subcommittees of the board are hands-on in terms of supporting management in delivering the mandate of the organization. But in terms of high-level management, you'll see that we have a chief operation officer. It's an integrating arm of the organization in terms of delivery on the general level. We have the chief operation officer who strategically manages the finances of the organization and strategically raise funding and look at the impact of those funding on our projects and continuously make sure that the projects are themselves the going concern and they are viable. And then we have the chief risk officer who manages the risks of the organization. Throughout the organization, we have built a capacity as TCTA to continuously map out the experiences of what we do so that we can share it with other people. And that is why you're beginning to see an element of practical knowledge management information collection, which also will be reflecting and putting an IP in terms of the information that we collect as an organization and the experiences that we learn, particularly on all the projects that we have implemented. The other components of the organization, Chairperson, are reflective of an organizational structure in terms of what it needs to implement its business in terms of the PFMA. Chairman, I would like to now draw your attention to the impact of the projects that we have delivered. In the past year, we have delivered more or less a first-up project, which has been reflected earlier on, and we have inaugurated the Bev Water project as well.
it is important for us to reflect that in terms of the spend on transformation for this project, TCTA has spent $800 million on black economic empowerment for this project. And what we have seen on both projects respectively is that on FISAP we have created 1,300 jobs, which were impacting also local communities who historically would not have had sources of income. And also we see the same number in terms of the BEC project, where you see 4,379 person years of job opportunities that have been created by the two projects. We're hoping that in terms of our strategies going forward and implementing government policy, Chairperson, we'll use the money that the government supports us through the explicit guarantees, and we raise it from the market to transform the sector in which we're working, one. Secondly, but to make sure that everyone, where we work, jobs are created and skills are built. If you look at the next slide, Chair, which is reflective of our transformation scorecard in terms of government requirements, I want to punctuate this table by mentioning that we do take the transformation element very important, critically in terms of our project, because we spend a lot of money, Chairperson, and into the future, if we're going to spend 44 billion rand on projects, we would want to see meaningful change. Now, the synopsis that you see in front of you on the screen, Chair, is basically based on the scorecard requirements of the country, that in every project that we do, we want to see effective management control by BEE companies that participate. And the scorecard itself will reflect to you that the total maximum point is 15. And to date, we've seen TCTA scoring fairly higher than that. Employment equity within the organization is reflective, Chairperson, in terms of both gender and a reflection of the diversity of the country. But more or less, projects where areas where we implement projects, we also employ people in terms of reflective of youth, women, and disabled people. But if you look at the scorecard, it's also reflective, Chairperson, in terms of the maximum point that was required by the scorecard was 15. We have scored 12.78, Chair. Chairperson, the total score in terms of our transformation scorecard, TCTA is participating in terms of level 4 contribution, and the numbers that you can see as a total score is 68.24. We're hoping to keep this score, Chair, and improve on it.